This is Becky Lewis, welcoming you to episode 5 of the West Virginia Leaders of Literacy podcast. In this episode, we're going to get school readiness information and inspiration from Nancy Hanna from Greenbrier County Schools. And we're going to be talking about how Greenbrier County Schools has implemented the Ready, Set, Go West Virginia framework. I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the West Virginia Leaders of Literacy podcast, where we engage in educational conversations to strengthen early literacy in West Virginia. Are you ready to become a leader of literacy? Hi everyone, thanks for listening today as we continue talking about school readiness, and I want to begin by welcoming back Maggie.
I'm happy to be here again. Thanks, Becky, and I am very excited to hear from our expert guest today.
Yes, we are very fortunate to have our special guest today, Nancy Hanna from Greenbrier County, West Virginia. Nancy is the Associate Superintendent for Greenbrier County Schools. She has varied experience in public education, and she's taught at the elementary, middle, and high school levels for 23 years. She's also been assistant principal and a principal, as well as board office director. She believes it takes a village to raise a child and is rewarded daily to be part of the village in her community. Thank you, Nancy, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We're very excited to have you, and so that you can share Greenbrier County's efforts to support school readiness. So my first question is just tell us your connection to our topic today of school readiness.
Okay, I'm our county's liaison for the campaign for grade level reading. I'm also the universal pre-K director, and I'm the associate superintendent for curriculum instruction. So a large part of my focus in that capacity is on literacy, pre-literacy development, and then closing the achievement gap for children. Greenbrier County is geographically quite large. We're rural. We have 13 schools plus an achievement center. We're fortunate to be the grantees of the Head Start grant. And with our universal pre-K program, we have 10 sites and 18 classrooms.
Wow.
And all of our elementary schools are Title I schools.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Okay. So in your experience, why is school readiness important?
Well, school readiness is the foundation. So it's the building block so that we can help all children be successful in school. So children enter school with varied levels of skills and learning experiences. As far as literacy goes, you'll have children who come to you with 1,000 hours of pre-literacy development, all the way down to 0 hours of pre-literacy development.
Sure.
And in our universal pre-K programs, the individualized instruction helps level the playing field for all the young learners so we can close that gap a little bit. School readiness, you know, when you just hear that term, you think of reading and math, but it really encompasses the whole child. It solidifies the foundation for everything that's needed for success in school. We focus on everything from the child's health to attendance to social and emotional regulation to then the pre-literacy and the pre-math skills. Little story here. Several years ago, we had a preschooler who came to us, and at the beginning of preschool, he weighed about 40 pounds, and which is small for a preschooler. And so in part of our health development, you know, children are required to have a physical and a dental before they start. And he had never been to the dentist prior to have to go as part of our school readiness with pre-K. And it turns out he had a lot of dental issues and could not eat. And that's why he only weighed 40 pounds. So that also affected his development and his development of these school readiness skills. So through this program, he was able to receive the dental care that he needed. Also, our nutrition director, who is just passionate for children, while we were, you know, boosting our young man up, she would go get Pediasure and other nutritional supplements to boost his calories. By the time he ended his pre-K year, He was the size of a typically developing four-year-old. His dental needs had been cared for. We did this all a part of supporting the family because his teeth looked fine and he had never said anything about his teeth.
Wow.
So it's not that he came from a neglectful family who just didn't follow up. There were no signs there.
And I think families just don't know to bring
right.
their kid to the dentist earlier. So,
oh right. Well, and sometimes even family members and even healthcare community will say you don't need to take him to the dentist this young unless they're presenting issues.
Okay.
And
yeah.
this child was not presenting issues, and so they didn't take him. But that's why school readiness encompasses the whole child. It's everything, their health, their attendance, social, emotional regulation. They may be able to already read and do some pre-math skills, but if they can't regulate themselves socially and emotionally, they're going to have a difficult time in school.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're 100% correct with that.
Well, last episode, we talked to Lisa Fisher at length about the Ready, Set, Go West Virginia framework, and we talked a lot about, you know, the whole child and what it means about kids not being ready for us, but us being ready for them. Is that it sounds like Greenbrier County is doing an excellent job using or maybe even modeling after that framework.
Yeah, we definitely do. And, you know, when I go to trainings in other states, I'm always so thankful to be in West Virginia because I feel like West Virginia is really ahead of the game here. And we're very fortunate with our State Department. Policy 2525 mirrors the Head Start performance standards, so it makes collaboration so much easier. But it's also, they're developmentally appropriate and what's right and best for kids. They also have the Office of Early Learning. We'll have professional development modules. So if there's an area on the early learning reporting system that I feel like, well, this year we're a little bit low here, so what should we do? I'll go to those professional development modules and look through. And it's excellent training for your teachers, and it's right there, and it's free. And we've actually done all the modules, and then we repeat them when they're needed. But the Ready, Set, Go West Virginia, if you follow that framework, which we do, we model our campaign for grade level reading and everything that we do in pre-K and working with families on this framework. But it recognizes how important the first years of a child's life are and how important that schooling is. And it establishes the solid foundations for lifelong learning. And it encompasses all those areas, like I said, that we just talked about that build that healthy foundation and that individualized approach to learning. And so those are the same domains that we focus on with our families, with our children, and in our campaign for grade level reading, along with attendance.
You said that beautifully. We need you to be like spokesperson for the campaign for grade level reading.
Yeah. Well, I'm really passionate about it.
I can tell.
It makes a huge difference. And it's made a huge difference in our county. You know, that pre-literacy development before we started the campaign, those scores were always a little bit lower, like the phonemic awareness and our child outcomes, we were not pleased with them. And we tried a lot of different things. But once we really put the focus here, they went from 50% to 90%.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think it was great how you said you're fortunate to be here in West Virginia and you see that we're developing the whole child. I think that kind of gets overlooked sometimes.
Yeah, I do too. Prior to starting this and really, you know, following this framework and following all those areas, we would focus on one thing. So I was looking at those phonemic awareness scores, you know, what can we do? What can we target? And we've made some growth. But until we started looking at the whole child, all the domains, mm-hmm. that health and physical development, the social and emotional development, the language of communication, just their cognition, their general knowledge, their individual approaches to learning, their needs and their interests and attendance, it really didn't make a difference. But when you start looking at all that, you know, like I said, just in phonemic awareness alone, we went from 50% proficient to 90% proficient.
Right. And I know that those partnerships in the community is a big place to start that foundation and work on the whole child together. So what kind of partnerships does Greenbrier County have in place?
Well, we are so lucky. So I feel so fortunate when I go to other places to be in West Virginia, but I also feel fortunate to be in Greenbrier County. The partnerships that we have are critical to the success in our school system for our children and our families. So we have really strong partnerships that grow stronger all the time. So we partner with our local hospital as well as other agencies such as WIC, Birth to Three, and DHHR to ensure that our families have access to the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. And we provide mm-hmm. that to our community through our campaign for grade level reading through Title I funds. But right there in the hospital, you know, once someone gives birth, they're registering them for Dolly Parton Imagination Library. That enrollment at WIC, at Birth to Three, with parents as teachers, you know, just all the community agencies so that we can all register the families. What that does also is we're all saying the same thing to our families. We're all communicating the same message. You know, we have the registrations in our pediatric dentist office and our pediatrician offices, but we're all saying the same thing. Reading to your child is very important. We have a really strong partnership with Birth to Three, and that ensures a smooth transition for our special needs population from Part C to Part B services. So it helps with that transition into preschool. Mm-hmm. One of our strongest partnerships and the one that's made a huge difference is that we partner with Seneca Health Services and Raynell Medical Center to ensure our children have access to quality health care as well as mental health services. So these mental health professionals actually come into our schools and work with our children with mental health needs, and they also work with families. And it's made a huge difference, and with our social emotional regulation skills.
And so they're there. Do they have like a space in the
school?
They
do. We provide a space. Okay. And so they come in, and we have that in all 14 schools because we have it at the Achievement Center as well.
Oh my gosh.
So at least one day a week, there's mental health counseling in each school. And in our larger schools, it's 5 days a week. And it's just an amazing partnership.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is great.
If you look at our data, it doesn't appear that our young children are having social emotional regulation issues, because out of, you know, 300 preschoolers, you have 15 with social emotional regulation issues. So statistically, it doesn't look like you have an issue. But trust mm-hmm. me, if you have one child in a classroom with social emotional regulation issues, you have an issue. And it's for that child, as well as the rest of the children in that classroom, as well as the staff, as well as the families. And to me, early childhood is the best place to help children with this regulation. It's a skill that's needed throughout life. You know, if we don't help them manage these skills, then by the time they're, you know, 185-pound eighth grade male and they have difficulty regulating their social and emotional skills, it lands them in alternative school. Yeah. When they're 18, it lands them in the Southern Regional Jail. Then, you know, they have trouble maintaining a job, maintaining a relationship, being parents themselves. So we really have to, that's a critical skill that we give our children. It's really just as important as the pre-literacy and the math development, is that they can regulate their emotions. It's a very important life skill.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that. It is a life skill. In the last episode, we talked with Lisa mm-hmm. about Ready Schools, and the idea behind Ready Schools is that the school and the school system are ready to meet the students' needs. And you've talked about that and hit on it. But are there any other ways that Greenbrier County schools ensure that all schools school-wide are ready to meet the needs of all students?
Well, you know, and I keep going back to universal pre-K because that's our building block and our foundation. So this is where it starts. It doesn't mean that we don't do this in kindergarten or first grade or second grade or third grade, but just we lay that foundation there in pre-K. So that program is highly individualized. It's based on students' interests and needs. We take each child from where they are when they enter our program and progress them as far as possible in the forward direction. It begins on the home visit when we talk to the parents and we, you know, they fill out the ages and stages information and, you know, we're looking at are their needs. Our families set goals as a family and goals for their child. The teachers use that all-important teacher observation for assessment, and so they're constantly assessing, taking notes, anecdotal records, and looking at where each child is and where they need to go and what their interests are. We do focus on attendance. We focus on health, making sure they have a medical and dental home. Of course, we provide high-quality instruction, which includes all the foundations for success for pre-literacy and pre-math. We do have a really strong transition program for children as they enter pre-K, transitioning from birth to three or from their home or their babysitter, wherever they've been. And then we also really focus on the transition from preschool into kindergarten. We provide books in the home, and we partner with WVU Extension Office to provide Energy Express to help combat the summer slide.
You guys are doing it all. Nancy, I want you to talk a little bit more about your home visits, because you touched upon that briefly, but I know that I think you guys even expand upon those, like one at the beginning. So tell us what the pre-K and K teachers can do.
Okay, so pre-K and kindergarten teachers do home visits prior to the start of school. And the purpose for this is many faceted, but it starts with it lays the foundation for a positive home and school connection. That we're all in this together and we're on the same team for this child. It allows the children to meet mm-hmm. the staff. It's always a teacher and an assistant teacher or a counselor or even a principal who does the home visit, but it's always two staff members.
Okay.
And we have found an unintended consequence of this that was a blessing. We have almost no tears now on the first day of school. PK and K, because they've already met the teacher in an area they were most comfortable, in their home.
Yeah, where they felt safe.
And so yeah. They feel comfortable then when they come to school. Now, pre-K teachers do an additional home visit in the spring, and they discuss with parents, you know, all the child outcomes for their child at the end of pre-K, and then the transition to kindergarten. The pre-K and kindergarten teachers also meet at the end of the year, and in most schools, they also meet throughout the year, and they ensure the successful transitions to the kindergarten classroom. You know, they discuss, for example, a kindergarten teacher might say, I see this child receives speech services. Is his speech intelligible? Does he have communication issues with the other teachers? And then the pre-K teacher can say, no, not at all. It's not articulation, it's language. And, you know, he's come such a long way. We're really now just on a consult basis. That way the kindergarten teacher knows exactly where the children are when she's getting them, where they are.
That's amazing.
With literacy, with math, with social emotional regulation, with health, and so on.
Are there any additional ways that teachers support their children, parents, schools, and communities?
Well, we provide a lot of services with our families. You know, families will feel comfortable coming to us for assistance. We make sure we're familiar with all the community agencies and where we can refer parents who need help. We will even provide transportation to those medical and dental appointments if needed.
Wow. I bet that is so key.
Yeah, so with, you know, I've taken plenty myself, especially if they have to end up going to a specialist, if it's in Charleston or Roanoke. You know, that's difficult for a lot of families to navigate that. And sometimes they just mm-hmm. want us to go with them because it's going to be a difficult appointment, and they just want some help navigating something that they find intimidating. And again, we always send two staff members, so it will usually be our health manager, who is a nurse, and another staff member. Sometimes it's myself, and sometimes it's another, you know, one of our management team.
Okay. Now, I know West Virginia in general is suffering through this crisis where we have, you know, about 7,000 kids in foster care. Mm-hmm. I think it's 40,000 children in West Virginia live with grandparents or other family members. Are you seeing that in Greenbrier County?
We are. And so All of our schools, of course, have parent outreach initiatives through Title I and other programs. We regularly offer parent trainings, and we try to be familiar through a community needs assessment, which includes parent surveys and things, so that we know the needs of the community. So we're currently partnering with the WVU Extension Agency to provide a grand families program mm-hmm. for grandparents raising grandchildren, because we saw the need for that. And then we also saw a need, families were needing help with after-school child care, with tutoring, with enrichment. So we began offering some mm-hmm. after-school programs in most of our schools.
Wonderful. Yeah. I know that, especially for those grandparents who are maybe doing this a second time around,
Some instances, great grandparents.
Well, things have changed a lot, and the school system has changed and everything, and they just need a little bit of help navigating that, in navigating the school system and navigating what we do.
Yeah.
I think that's great. It seems like it's the whole community. It doesn't stop at the school level or the parent level. You're really going all the way through.
We're certainly trying to.
Lisa shared with us in the last episode some information about a Family's Guide to School Readiness brochure that the West Virginia Department of Education has out there. Could you provide mm-hmm. us some information with what's in the brochure that's valuable to you and how it's given out?
Sure. We give this brochure out on our home visits. It discusses the domains addressed in school readiness that we've already discussed, such mm-hmm. as health, social and emotional development, pre-literacy development, and the individualization. So it's sort of what to expect when your child goes to school, what kind of things are you going to see and what's going to go on in the classroom. And then it also discusses how parents can help by making sure their children have enough sleep, that they read to their child each day, that they use positive discipline, and it gives some positive discipline tips, and that they spend quality time with their child.
Yeah, that's all so important, and often sometimes we can easily overlook parents making sure that the child gets enough sleep, for instance, because it is not them sleeping in as late as they're normally comfortable and what's natural for them. So they do have to set up those routines for them.
Yeah, exactly.
An earlier conversation that we had, we talked about some of the transition programs and enrollment processes that you have established in Greenbrier County aside from the home visits. So can you tell us about some of those activities that you have?
Well, we strive to make a positive impression from the enrollment process on. And then the home visits are a great segue into the school system. So we try to make the enrollment process as parent-friendly as possible. For Universal Pre-K, it starts with an online application, and then they pick up some of the paperwork that they need and then come to the enrollment process. And we try different things and we change it. Last year, I had this grand idea of having a big kitty fair. Mm-hmm. And we had it at the fairgrounds, and we provided jumpy houses and different things. We had all of our community partners come in to share with parents, and it just ended up being a travesty. It was good because we got a lot of kids, but that's not really what our families wanted or needed. They want to enroll their child, and they want it to be sort of a quick process. And it's difficult. Families are very busy. There are ball games. There's this, there, that. So we listen. We did feedback from them, from the carnival. And it's not that it was all negative feedback, because it definitely wasn't. But basically what they said is, we want a simpler process. We want to fill out what we can online. We want to pick up ahead of time any forms that you're going to have us fill out. Then we want to come to enrollment and kind of be in and out. And we did at the fairgrounds, we did the child screenings there, like some vision, hearing, mm-hmm. the ASQ, and speech. And feedback from parents was, we don't want that. Screen them later, once you get them. We don't want to go through this. So that's what we're doing this year. Then, so we're going by the feedback from our families. And so this year we're doing online is the first step. Then you pick up a packet, and then you come to, different enrollments, turn that in, and you can go.
Well, hey, lesson learned.
Yes.
Yes, right.
This will be my last question for you, Nancy. What school readiness activities have you seen the most success with, and why do you think they're so successful?
Well, we've seen so much success since we started our campaign for grade level reading. And I think partnering with the community has been huge in that, so that we're all speaking the same language about the overall importance of healthy development, about the pre-literacy skills, about attendance, about reading to your child. So I think everyone speaking the same language, sort of cementing that we are all a village in raising our community's children. And I think the success has been in that the focus is on the whole child, mm-hmm. and how each domain impacts the others.
I love to hear that because I feel the same way. I feel like we've had this foundation for school readiness with Ready, Set, Go West Virginia for several years now, and with the campaign for grade level reading, it extends that whole holistic child idea from birth to pre-K all the way up to third grade. So it's really nice hearing from counties like yours who are really just passionate about it and making that work all the way up through the grades.
I can't say it any better than Maggie did. I want to thank you both for being here today and just joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's definitely a subject that I'm passionate about.
Yes, and we can tell. I'm going to ask a final question. So knowing how closely linked that school readiness is to literacy success later on in a child's life, what is one tip or piece of advice that you could give our listeners related to school readiness that will help them to develop as that leader of literacy?
You've got to focus on that whole child. You know, if they have health issues, those have to be addressed, attendance issues, if they have social emotional regulation issues. But then beyond that, it's really critical, especially in reading, to individualize based on the student's needs and interests. So we use PALS, the Phonemic Awareness Literacy Screener, to screen our children, and then we base their individualization from those scores as well as teacher observation. But whatever tool you use, the data then has to be aggregated and used to tailor the instruction. It's not useful to have data if you don't do anything with it. You can collect data all you want, but if you don't aggregate it and then direct your instruction based on your data, you're wasting your time in even collecting the data.
For additional information, please visit our website at wvde.us/leaders of literacy and click on the show notes for this episode. Want to learn more about being a leader of literacy? Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss a single installment. In the next episode, I'm welcoming back Maggie Luma. We will be focusing on the self-regulation skill of self-talk and the impact that it has on students both inside and outside of the classroom. You won't want to miss it. Thanks for listening.